Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's the Round the Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Toby Bailey, Bo Outlaw, Joey Devine, Ramil Robinson, Yuta Tabuse, Sean King, DJ Strawberry, Dijon Thompson, Patreons, Jeff Pop, thank you Jeff, Jordan Smith, thank you Jordan, and Deadball Soul, we're sorry, we're contacting Rob Liefeld right now. Musical guest, Mr. And now the temporary host of Rumble Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Rumble Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. But Ghost of Don Pardo, don't go anywhere. You
what?
Need to say the name of our special guest from the Akron Rubber Ducks.
Oh, yes! Don Pardo forgot! Sometimes it's hard to keep track of these things in the afterlife. Special guest, Jim Vander from the Akron Rubber Ducks!
Wow, that is the first time we've ever played the entire Saturday Night Live song. Welcome back! It's an emergency podcast because Sean... I'm not going to do an intro because it's an emergency.
Yes.
Poku got waived.
No!
Poku got waived, Sean!
Why? Why was he waived?
Well, he wasn't very good.
What?
But Sean, I want to kick it off real quick. What are you going to miss most about Poku in the NBA?
Okay, so I really like his hairline.
Mm-hmm.
I really like his just general silhouette that he has, because it's unlike I think anyone who's ever lived on the earth has really had these dimensions. Like, it really, seeing Poku play reminded me of being a kid and discovering the Guinness Book of World Records for the first time.
Absolutely.
Because he looks like Robert Wadlow, the tallest man of all time, in that, like, it feels like being that size almost just like hurts on a day-to-day basis. So he goes down in history with the fat twins on motorcycles.
Well, I was going to say, the interesting thing about Poku and the Guinness Book of World Records is sometimes he would like do a crazy thing that made me feel the same awe as the first time I saw those twins on motorcycles.
Yeah,
he would do cool things.
Yeah.
He just couldn't get it together. The thing I'm going to miss most about Poku is seeing him in street clothes and him looking like he was a member of Linkin Park. Like, that's how he dressed. He was the only NBA player I've ever seen who I was like, I think he's going to get gauges.
Yeah. Or, yeah, like, I thought he was either going to get gauges or, like, gout.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if that actually, you probably don't get gout if you're tall and skinny like that. I don't know that much about it, except that it's the rich man's
it's
disease.
King's disease. Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Well, but rest in Poku.
Isn't somebody going to pick him up? isn't this guy like way better than a lot of the
I would think dudes so
are getting picked up? I mean, I guess maybe it's like so late in the season. I don't know if you actually like, I don't think you gain any rights for next year. You so maybe like, it's a
you can't sign him to a two-way, right? He's played too many NBA games.
He can sign a two-way, I believe. Ooh. Let's year four. Well, you can do it if you're.
Let's
you can do it if you're in four or less.
Well, the Warriors maybe shouldn't have signed a professional lacrosse player and waited a day.
How dare you? How dare you? But yeah, it's just tough because they're the Oklahoma City Thunder because their prospects all play in Thunderdome where they fight each other to the death every year for playing time. And now it's like even crazier because are they the number one seed in the West right now? They're second right now.
The unstoppable T-Wolves are first, right?
It's also wild that, have you watched the Thunder recently?
Yeah.
I watched some of their game against the Clippers.
They kicked the shit out of the Clippers.
Yeah, and they're leading the league in blocked shots.
Yeah.
And I understand that they have Chet Holmgren, who is blocking a lot of shots, but like everybody is blocking shots. They contest so many shots at the rim. It's crazy. Like, shit. SGA should not be getting a block every game, and he is.
He's very tall. He's long. He's not tall.
He's long. I'm just saying, like, your point guard doing that, if he's, I mean, obviously, all respect to Derek White, the greatest shot blocking guard. He is tall. He is really tall. But it's just crazy how aggressive their defense is. It's like, I feel like there's not other teams that play like that. Anyway,
well, Chet fills in all the gaps with his Mr. Fantastic weirdo body,
which means the weirder, less effective Reed Richards body does not work.
I mean, I would have kept Poku and just waived Josh Giddey personally, but...
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
The other thing is that Josh Giddey kind of stinks, Joey.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Josh Giddey definitely stinks.
He's like... It's so weird that he was... I mean, it's not weird because he's a third-year player. They took sixth in the draft, but get a little more Wallace action in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Isaiah Joe, let him eat.
Well, Isaiah Joe's they're not even really playing Gordon Hayward that much.
No, he's playing he's played one game. Well, he's only been on the team for one game.
True, but like last night when Giddey was stinking up the joint, I was like, "This is why you traded for Gordon Hayward."
Put this in, because now it's like Chet shooting threes, Dort shooting threes, Jalen Williams is.
So good.
Apparently the best player in basketball. They have awesome. So many guys who can shoot threes now. It's crazy.
I love the Thunder, man.
Oh my God. This is a scary team. And I'm sorry that Poku couldn't make it, but I honestly don't even really feel like it's like an indictment of him.
No.
It's almost like they're releasing a beautiful unicorn into the wild because they didn't have enough rainbows to feed him. Joey, do you want Poku on the Warriors next year?
Yeah, I want
Poku. Yeah, 100%. I want Poku on the Warriors. Everybody should want Poku.
I should say, while we're talking about the Thunder, Doc Rivers had a big week, and one of the things that went under the radar was his lie about SGA. Did you see that, Sean?
He had another lie? Okay, yeah. What was that?
He lied. He said he claimed that when they signed Kawhi Leonard, he tried to talk to him into not demanding for Paul George because of how good SGA is going to be.
Didn't he also say that he was the one responsible for bringing James Harden to Philadelphia?
That sounds right. I don't know. There were so many things going on with him this week.
I love that he just lies with such confidence.
Well, you know what?
Like when he was explaining why he lost so many 3-1 leads and just like started declaring these things. And it was like, wait, that you're so confident, but you were there. That didn't happen at all.
I mean, while we're bringing him up, let's just jump to the news then, huh?
Okay, great.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news for humans and robots. Trust the process.
Okay, Sean, even though it was everyone had a week off from watching basketball, it was a big week for Doc Rivers. Can you walk us through what happened to him this week?
Yes. So, first of all, he won the All-Star game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we actually have a reader question about this.
Okay. Man. All right. I'll play the reader question.
Hold yeah. On. I think that'll bring us in really nicely.
Okay, all right.
Hey,
drops,
John and Joey.
Drops, drops. This...
Hold on. I was just going to play the voicemail.
Sorry. I got excited about the drops.
All right, I'll play the drops.
You don't have to play the drops. I just wanted to yell it like I was at LMFAO.
Sean and Joey can't come to the phone right now, but luckily phones are the domains of me, a robot. If you know the extension of Tillman Fertitta, please dial it now. Press 1 to have a single beer with Zach Lowe. Press 2 for Senegal-related inquiries. Press 3 for movie times read by Brooke Lopez. Press 33 to hear problematic things Bill Simmons wrote in the early 2000s. Press 0 at any time to leave a message for Sean and Joey. That's right, you too can leave a message for Sean and Joey, just dial 323-682-0342. Once again, that number is 323-682-0342. Please give me a call, being a robot is a solitary road.
Alright, our friend John L. asked something about Doc Rivers. Here we go.
Hey, Sean and Joey, this is John L. Calling because I guess I'm calling on February 13th. Doc Rivers right now is 3-5 since he took over the Bucks. Even if they win the next couple games, the best he could be is .500 before the All-Star break. Joe Prunty went 2-1. Adrian Griffin went 30-13. My question, of course, is Joe Prunty coach of the year? Thank you.
It's really a great question. And Joe Prunty is always the interim coach of the year.
That's true.
He's on the Mount Rushmore of interim coaches. It's just four Joe Prunties.
It's four Joe Prunties. JB Bickerstaff is too good a coach. They had to chisel him off interim coach Mount Rushmore. Maybe Frank Hamblin. Has Frank Hamblin been a interim coach? Like Jim Clemens, I think, might be on that.
Yeah, Del Harris was also, if you go back, probably was an interim coach a couple of times. But Joe Prunty is the interim coach in all of our hearts and minds.
By the way, Doc Rivers did not get to 500. He coached the All-Star game with a 3-7 record as a head coach, but he won 1/3 of his total career wins for Milwaukee during that amazing All-Star game, coaching them, drawing up some amazing three-point shot plays from half court. Just a dramatic coaching performance. And, Bill Simmons said that a lot of those Eastern Conference All-Stars fell in love with Doc's offense during the game. So there's a good chance they can leverage that to sign some premium free agents. Do you remember when Bill Simmons said that about Brad Stevens, Jeremy?
I do remember that. Yeah.
Let's
talk about we're still not even at the Doc news this week.
Oh, you're right. So Doc's news this week, he won the All-Star game. And then he claimed he didn't want to trade SGA, claimed he brought James Harden to Philadelphia, and then his former player turned on him. J.J. Redick got mad at Doc Rivers, and J.J. Redick maybe showing some of his true colors a little bit. He ranted a bit about Doc Rivers, and he says he's not sorry. Because he ripped Rivers for not taking any accountability ever, because he complained about how difficult it was to take over a team mid-season.
Well, we should also say that Doc also lied about this, being like, I was surprised that the Bucks hired me. I don't know what I'm doing. And then also was like bragging, also two other teams who haven't fired their coaches yet were trying to hire me, wink.
So he said, I've seen the trend for years. The trend is always making excuses. Doc, we get it. Taking over the team in the middle of the season is hard. It's always an excuse. It's always throwing your team out of the bus. There's never accountability with that guy.
We should also then say this isn't even this most controversial thing JJ Redick said this week either. It's a big week for a couple of losers.
Yeah. And then, here's what I'll, okay. So I'm just going to, before we address the substance of these controversial comments. So Patrick Beverly jumped in afterwards and, said that, Doc Rivers had revitalized JJ Redick's career because he was not a starter beforehand. And, then became one with the Clippers and signed a big contract. And let me find the.
Well, and then JJ was like, actually, I was getting paid $30 million or whatever.
No. He said that he had an offer to be a starter, which was like the same money and the same contract. Why can I not find an article I wrote? Recapping all of this. Anyway, Patrick Beverly, basically, and JJ Redick did have another contract offer. It was with the Minnesota Timberwolves. People kind of knew that at the time, but I don't know that Patrick Beverly was noting all the transactions as he was trying to
injure Russell Westbrook.
Break into the league by breaking. Doc Rivers. Austin Rivers.
Proving that blood is thicker than water. Mm-hmm. Because, as we all know, Austin and Doc don't exactly have a healthy relationship.
I would say that's probably come up a few times before in things that we've heard about, because Austin, Doc's dad was there and he didn't it wasn't around all the time, Patrick Beverly,
I thought this was in various arenas like Johnny Appleseed.
Yeah, he also did that. So Patrick Beverly said so then we got Austin Rivers jumping in and saying that his dad always does get blamed. And he said, in terms of accountability, because JJ Redick said that Rivers didn't take accountability, your best years in the NBA were when you played for him in the Clippers. It's just very ironic and kind of weird that you have this energy towards him.
So, Sean.
Yes.
Before we get into what happens next.
Yeah.
We have JJ Redick.
Yes.
We have Austin Rivers. Mm-hmm. We have Pat Beverly.
Yeah.
Is this our first three-way podcaster war?
I forgot Austin Rivers was a podcaster, honestly.
He has a podcast for The Ringer.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah. Yes. There's even more terrible podcasts. I have a feeling that this next guy might have a podcast that's only available on the dark web, however.
Did Cumtown ever fight with like Joe Rogan, and then Joe Rogan also fought? Like, is this?
Yeah, I think this has happened.
This is our first. You think this is? You think there's been a three-way podcast war before?
Chapo Trap House or something? Yeah. Yes.
It'll definitely.
Don't they fight with everybody?
Well, no. It would be. Red Scare.
Love it or leave it, let it.
Call your daddy. And call your daddy. Smartless and Red Scare all got in that fight one time. I forgot.
Oh, and then my brother and me jumped in. And I don't even know what that podcast is. Okay, so next, Spencer Hawes, famed NBA conservative legend Spencer Hawes, tweeted, statistically inaccurate statement, but if we want to talk about someone whose career got saved by Doc, frog emoji, coffee. Is that like a Pepe thing? Why is it a frog and a coffee?
It's that's Kermit the frog drinking the tea.
But it's definitely coffee.
That's an old
in this
meme,
Sean. I think he's shouting at Pepe too.
I mean, he definitely put an AK-47 down that he was shooting at
a target of Dr. Fauci.
Yeah, to tweet that.
Yeah, I do like that his display handle is Spence Needle. Also, I like that he shames the Oklahoma City Thunder for
killing
the Sonics. So you know what? Maybe he's okay. And then Marcin Gortat also jumped in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What did Marcin Gortat say?
Marcin Gortat
agreed with JJ, right?
He agreed with JJ.
Yeah, uh-huh.
It's like not...
It was just like a thumbs up emoji or something.
Yeah, it was like a thumbs up emoji. He just jumped in. And Gortat was not on the Clippers very much. Now, my take on this is... maybe this is a sign of why the Lob City Clippers are like one of the most disappointing teams in NBA history. Right? Like they had an MVP candidate, Hall of Fame point guard. They had Blake Griffin, who made, I think, 5 All-Star teams and was 3rd in the MVP voting. They had DeAndre Jordan, who, rightly or not, was first team All-NBA. Mm-hmm. They had a 6th man of the year every season, and that wasn't J.J. Redick because he started. He got a starting offer for that team and they collapsed over and over again. Mm-hmm. Like, and they're quick. Like, do you think that this has to do with the personalities of the players involved, or is that kind of like a Doc Rivers thing?
I don't think it's actually a Doc Rivers thing because as weird as that Celtics team was, they're still all pretty tight, except with Ray Allen, who betrayed them. And they're like, oh, look, Big Baby's here. We love Big Baby. Even though they clearly hate Big Baby.
Big Baby is like the guy when you're coming back to your hometown and you're like, oh, Big Baby, still sitting in the same Barstool.
Yeah.
Hey, Glenn.
And I don't remember.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say, and I don't remember the Magic having this sort of problem, except for people dumping on T-Mac constantly, which was not the players, though.
No,
that was like the Skip Bayless's of the world.
No, they actually seem to kind of get along well.
Yeah.
It's just... I don't know. It's tough. Like, the Grant Hill situation was so incredibly weird and unprecedented. It's sort of hard to judge.
I don't remember Daryl Armstrong and Mike Miller fighting. The Sixers were doing this before Doc got there. Joel Embiid and Doc are similar in that they're amazing at pointing fingers away from themselves.
Yeah, but they all got together to make I didn't hear any music. Stories about fighting on the set of Hustle.
So I think this is Clipper specific.
I think so too. Okay, JJ Redick question.
Now when I also, he's
oh go ahead
before we get into that don't think players like JJ Redick.
No. And
I think players view him as a traitor now who's like,
telling people's business, kind of talking shit.
Yeah, he's sided with the media in the players versus media war.
I will say it is telling that the people that went to defend JJ Redick are probably not the people he wanted to defend him. Mm-hmm. because Spencer Hawes, big Bush supporter, some right-wing politics. Uh-huh. Marcin Gortat probably has, I mean...
But also, who knows if Marcin Gortat was really defending JJ? He might just be like, oh, JJ said something, thumbs up. You know what I mean? Like, who
well,
knows?
Exactly. But I'm just saying, JJ is whether like intentionally or unintentionally skewing a little bit suburban dad, let's uh-huh. say. Let's say yeah. it sounds like he went to Duke. He is sort of mm-hmm. fulfilling his
it
destiny.
Sounds like he's like a guy who maybe started a fight in a charter preschool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A guy who got a preschool, whose wife got a preschool teacher fired. Yeah, that's mm-hmm. This kind of behavior. And a lot of it's like, I just feel like he's aiming his podcast a little bit more towards the Skip Bayless track.
Mm-hmm. Which is interesting because a day later he went on TV and called all NBA fans stupid or whatever because what they don't
want to break down
about basketball.
Well, and it was so dumb too because he's like, hey, I made fun of a coach and that got plenty of views. It's like, well, I mean, weren't you kind of you're consciously trying to get also you're consciously trying to get engagement. That's why you did your podcast with like your whole career is designed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly breaking down plays. Also, maybe people don't want to hear JJ Redick breaking down plays. Well, maybe they don't want to be like lectured that much.
I mean, I said this when it happened. Everything I learned about basketball, I learned from Muse Cage.
Yeah,
which was
exactly.
both entertaining and educational, watching Kobe Bryant talk to that puppet. So uh-huh. eat it, JJ.
Yeah.
I yeah, love those weird, psychotic nursery rhyme songs.
Yeah, why don't you come to Kansas City and then we'll talk.
Which, by the way, if we haven't talked about that in a while... Please, for the love of God, if you're out there, look up episode 1 of Kobe Bryant's Muse Cage, a thing ESPN actually aired on TV.
With Lil Mamba. And
the
they definitely.
Ever on television.
They definitely forced Kobe to. Well, I mean, it definitely, as it went on, was just kind of him breaking down film.
Yeah, because.
And they kind of abandoned.
They were like, we can't do a half an hour of you talking to a puppet. This is too weird.
This is like mescaline NBA Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood
yeah,
right now.
That's exactly what it is. It's amazing. And it's like if Mr. Rogers was a sociopath. Like,
yeah.
Because the lesson is like, you have to be fueled by your haters.
Yeah, it's like, hey, kids. Yeah, it's like Emperor Palpatine if he hosted yeah. like Romper Room.
Yeah. Oh man, sorry for the Muse Cage. All right.
Is that and that's yeah? So that's like, it's crazy that it's like breaking down this much, but it was predictable because the Bucks are now full of dudes who just can't help themselves. From talking, and I feel
like... Well, they all lie, too. Did you see Giannis's amazing lie about the Bucks this week?
What was his lie?
His lie was, it's Dame's team. I've told him this multiple times. It's Dame's team now. Like, he's going to get the ball. It's not on me. We're Dame's team. This is Dame's team.
that's a weird one. Yeah, he just lies now. And it's weird because he had this reputation for just like straight up honesty. Like, yeah. I lost in the series, but that doesn't define my life. And then people were like, wait, didn't you just lose to an 8 seed when you were the top seed? Shouldn't that actually be something? He's like, doesn't affect my life. And it's like, yes, it does. Of course you're not happy. Well, and so you've got Dame Lillard and Chris Haynes. Just they're good buddies. I mean, mm-hmm. look, that's fine. It's probably smart of him.
I honestly kind of like it now. It's gotten to the point where I like it.
Well, I like Chris Haynes is the thing. It's like, I mean, I don't really fault him for being good at the thing everybody's trying to do. It's just that's the thing. We're not hating on Chris Haynes. It's funny. It's funny that he gets these
details. It's also funny that every Ramona Shelburne source is obviously Genie Bus.
Yes, that's also funny. It's funny. Yeah, it's all funny. Dave McManaman's source is Rich Paul. It's funny. You know what I mean? Like it's entertaining. Also, Chris Haynes is getting much more comfortable on TV. Yeah. Made a really funny joke about Shaq.
That was the funniest thing about that Lakers Warriors LeBron rumor leaking, and everyone was like, I wonder where this came from. Yeah. And you read it and it's like, the entire point of that leaking is Genie Buss being like, we're annoyed with LeBron. This makes me look good because I was like, if LeBron wants to leave, he can.
Yeah.
Why don't you talk to him?
And then LeBron's like, well, I'm just going to lie about this too. I didn't hear about it until it was in the paper. Like
LeBron and the Warriors were both mad that leaked though.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, they were, but he was just like, a lot of people are really lying. We got to show you who the biggest liar in the NBA is. So, and again, it's harmless. It doesn't matter.
Lying is funny.
Lying is funny. I mean, I want LeBron to lie more, honestly. Yeah,
I want more lies. Give me more lies.
I want to see him, like, with infinite jest during the playoffs this year. And he's like, it's finally time. It's finally time to read my book for the playoffs.
I want Infinite Jest
by David Foster Wallace. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
And I want JJ Redick to start lying.
Yeah, he's actually revealing a little too much of his true self right now. What a surprise that a man like JJ Redick, that's not really fair, but he did go to Duke. He was like, when you're a white hero like that. It's great. It's great. More lying, more JJ, more Clippers.
Less podcast fighting. Also, speaking of podcasters, that dude in Dallas last night, did you see this?
Oh, yes.
That's the most embarrassing thing in the world. So he called Kevin Durant a bitch as Kevin Durant ran out to shoot around.
Yeah.
And then got surprised when Kevin Durant was mad about it and went to talk to him.
Yeah, KD didn't even really seem that mad.
He was just like, don't call me a bitch.
Yeah, like, that's, but you don't know me.
You can hear him saying, I'm a podcaster.
Ooh.
Dude, I have an NBA podcast that I'm not embarrassed about. But
no,
I would be embarrassed to tell Kevin Durant about it. That would be the last. Yeah. If I met Kevin Durant, the last thing I would tell him is I have a podcast.
No, I mean, I would try to talk to him about other things. I think he's interested, like anything else.
Scarlett Johansson's bathwater.
Yeah, or like, I don't know. It's great watching you play basketball. You've brought me a lot of joy. Do you still talk to Ben Simmons?
But also,
what's it like on the set of the boardroom?
But also, a guy calling a guy a bitch and then being like, "I have a podcast."
I have a podcast. It's like,
oh, what? You can't hit me. I'm just a little guy. Would you hit a guy with glasses on? Like,
but also, like, if you know anything about Kevin Durant, you're like, "Hey, I just insulted you." But also, I'm your least favorite kind of person.
Yeah,
just so you know. If you didn't hate me enough for cursing you out. Now, to his credit, he didn't kick the people out.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of think that's
gross. They were gross.
They were gross. I mean, they probably should have been kicked out, but it's actually so much cooler that they didn't. It's like, you know what he did? It's like when someone is mean to you on Twitter and you just mute them instead of blocking them. Mm-hmm. So he didn't give them the satisfaction of that screenshot to be like, oh, I got blocked for calling someone a bitch. And instead, Kevin Durant just muted their commentary from the stands. That's why he's the most online NBA player of all time.
But also, I only bring it up because we need less podcasts in the NBA. And that is why this is the final episode of Round Ball Run.
Final episode, guys. Thanks for coming along on the ride. This is going to switch to a Cinenerdle recap slash... Maxim magazine reread called Maximize Your Life.
Rough Cinnamon Turtle movies today, by the way, Sean.
Ooh, what are they?
New Pet Cemetery and It and New It.
I have no idea who's in the New Pet Cemetery.
Jason Clark is in the New Pet Cemetery. But what's Jason Clark?
Jason Clark, whose name is basically everybody else said no. I guess he'll do it.
He's like, Jason Clark is like
Spencer Hawes of Hollywood.
Joel Edgerton.
yeah.
All right. Let's move on. We have one more voicemail we got.
Yeah, this is a good question.
And then we will talk to our friend Jim from the Akron Rubber Ducks.
Yeah.
Hey, Round Ball Rock. It's your pal Jonathan calling from Silicon Valley, the worst place in the world. I know that Zach Lowe ad reads is tried and true tradition of, you know, content for the show, but I was recently struck by how surprised and awkward he sounded doing an ad read for eBay Motors, and just how ridiculous he sounds doing it. I think he's, you know, he was like, who knew? And they make him say, like, burning rubber and weird stuff. Which I guess maybe he is more of a car guy now, because I always picture him as being like still in New York, but I guess he's like out in the woods now. But anyway, my question is, who are the most car guys in the NBA, and who are the most, war on cars, kind of urbanist non-car guys in the NBA? Yeah. Take my question out here.
Okay, Sean, which NBA player most wants to live in a 5-minute city or 15-minute city? What are those called?
I don't remember, but I know what you mean. I mean, obviously, traditionally, it was Matt Bonner.
I would also say Channing Frye, definitely like a 10-minute city man.
I don't get the sense that I kind of think that Kevin Durant likes to like bike and skateboard as well.
Yeah.
I don't, that's not at all possible in Phoenix, Arizona. Let me tell you that right now.
Well, but we know Kelly Oubre is a bike guy.
We do know Kelly Oubre is a bike guy. Yeah. Kevin Durant did manage to like, I think living with playing for the Nets and the Warriors really did kind of allow him to not really drive a car. I've actually never seen, he's really not a car guy. I don't remember any, like, I don't know, as someone who, I feel like I've seen a lot of his Instagram, he's always like getting into cars, but that someone else is driving.
I mean, he definitely took the subway to go fight Michael Rapaport.
That's right, at Cap Steak.
Yeah.
Michael Rapaport has actually been banned from the subway, though, unfortunately. I have met Michael Rapaport before, not bragging. I made a joke about how he looks like Brian Scalbert
anyway, because he's into genocide. All right,
he didn't do his weekend at Cobb's Comedy Club in San Francisco, and I don't know why. Oh no, that's this weekend.
I wonder why he's in. He went to go check out the genocide, Sean. All right, go ahead.
Oh right, okay. Sorry, I forgot. okay, so I would. I'm just like, my default is always to guys that like play in New York, basically, because it seems like it might be harder to have a car there. I mean, I know the Knicks practice up in Westchester, but I kind of think that like, I could see the guy that does not fit that is Obi Toppin. He's from Ohio. He loves tires. He's not gonna. He went to Indiana, car country.
Here's but I could see car like guy is actually
okay. The biggest car guy.
I think
no
I,
car guy.
Car guy.
Oh,
I think Kawhi Leonard is a huge car guy.
Oh,
because he lives in San Diego. Refuses to move to Los Angeles and takes helicopters everywhere, which means, you know, he's driving cars to the helicopter. Like, he is His carbon footprint is large.
Well, wasn't J.J. Redick driving from Philadelphia to Brooklyn?
I think he was taking the train.
I thought we assumed that, and then we found out he was driving.
Well, okay.
Because he had to listen to talk radio, Hot Talk, Savage Nation, old Limbaugh clips. Yeah, I think I could see Tyrese Halliburton being like a weird car guy. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he drives like a Peugeot or something like that.
Tim Duncan's a car guy.
Well, Tim Duncan is like literally running a body shop.
Right. That's what I mean. Tim Duncan runs like Pimp My Ride style Marvel Comics body shops.
So who do you think is most likely to have a car like Homer has in that episode of The Simpsons where Danny DeVito is his long lost car executive brother? With like a dome and a Lake Cucaracha horn.
I mean, other than Robin Lopez?
Well, Robin Lopez would get that made. Actual car, yeah.
Well, we know... Okay, here's the thing we do know.
Mm-hmm.
We know Boris Diaw has that weird, insane... like RV slash Vanagon slash all-terrain vehicle.
Yes.
Because he did a commercial for it.
Hassan Whiteside has that insane, like a truck. I think it's a truck that maybe is not legal on city streets because it breaks them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we know that one Plumlee rides a unicycle. So he's not a car guy.
No. I don't think any Plumlee is a car guy. They're devoted to burning.
I think Marshall is a car guy.
Well, they're like art car guys for Burning Man.
But Marshall was a troop, remember?
Yeah, but he's always got to be on like a troop truck, you know? he just hops in the back, Joey. He goes where he's told. Okay,
LaMelo's a car guy. LaMelo might be the biggest car guy in the NBA.
Because actually. He loves taking illegal right turn. Yeah.
Here's a question. So Klay Thompson's a boat guy.
He is a boat guy.
Where does a boat guy land in this this discussion?
Yeah, boat guy feels not even like an NBA thing. I mean,
not even in the NBA terminology. I mean, in the terminology of like walkable city versus drivable city.
Oh, interesting. Because he lives, I believe Klay Thompson lives in the south part of San Francisco, a kind of like, I think he lives in Dog Patch, right?
I don't know. I thought he was in the marina, but he might have moved.
No, I think because of the stories about his boat, I believe he lives in like a new like house condo in an old warehouse district.
Okay.
Like near a bunch of breweries and like a artisan coffee shop. It's
that
like
bad white people barbecue place.
So yes, yeah, yeah, yes, yeah. Yes, yes. And like a lot of parklets in Clay's neighborhood, I think. Way, I don't think is a car guy at all. I mean, I think he would, if he were like, say I would not have been surprised if a younger Klay Thompson would have just lived in like the Millennium Towers, which are, if you're listening to this outside of San Francisco, they're these giant luxury apartment tower that like many San Francisco Giants live there and would take like electric scooters to the ballpark. It's pretty
Tower,
close.
Also, we should say not to be confused with the Millennium Tower that you always have to fight in at the end of the Yakuza games.
Yes, that's very important.
Where the boss fight is.
It is just poorly engineered and slowly. What's that? Not dissimilar. Also, yeah. Yeah. It's also slowly tipping over because it's been built on like filled
wet
in.
Sand.
Yeah, wet sand. Yeah. That part of San Francisco is not real. Okay. But yeah, like, I guess urbanist guy, I would not be surprised if Grady Dick was an urbanist guy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think Grady Dick likes a walkable city.
Toronto Raptors are not car guys.
Yeah, and I think public transportation is really good in that city.
Yeah.
Not that I've done anything but drive in Toronto, but
well, we lived not in a anyway. All right, Sean, we got to move on.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's talk, Sean. There was huge news this week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to be the only podcast that has this guest. The Akron Ducks, the minor league baseball team of the Cleveland Guardians this week, announced that later this summer, they're having Brian Windhorst night.
That's amazing.
Incredible.
Akron's favorite son. Yeah, and so once we read about this, I immediately sent an inquiry to, because I'm a journalist.
We're becoming real. We're not just two bozos anymore. We are people who will cold send emails to organizations to ask for interviews.
Yes.
And we talked to Fander from the Akron Ducks about
Akron Rubber Ducks, Joey. Rubber Ducks. Respect the industry of the town.
Oh, man. And Ernie from Sesame Street.
That's true.
My best friend for so many years.
Yeah, the AA affiliate of the Cleveland Guardians.
Yeah. We talked to Jim from the Akron Rubber Ducks about the genesis of Brian Windhorst Night. And you know, let's hear that right now.
Oh, great. This is Jim Fander. Am I saying that right?
That's correct.
From the Akron Rubber Ducks. And we were very excited to learn that the Rubber Ducks are having a Brian Windhorst bobblehead night for Akron's other favorite son, would you say?
Absolutely. Brian is a big cult hero here in Akron.
He's a cult hero here in California, too, so it makes sense. We love him so much. He's our favorite guy.
Yeah, it feels like he's great, and it's just it feels so improbable that he's become a superstar and yet, you know, came from Akron, lives in Omaha, Nebraska, I believe, which is not normally where
NBA newsbreakers live. Yeah,
but it's fantastic. It's really amazing. So first of all, can you tell us how you got how you got the idea for the bobblehead night, basically?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, every year we try to do something, you know, unique to our area and unique to Akron. And I think we've done all kinds of things. Like we've done a kind of a rock and roll series of artists from Akron. So we've done, you know, a Black Keys bobblehead and Chris Pine from the Pretenders. And so we've always tried to do something that was Akron centric, Akron unique. And, you know, as we were just kind of brainstorming as a staff and thinking, boy, who would be a great person to honor this year? You know, Brian's name was at the top of the list. And so we were really excited when we were like, okay, it would be great to have Brian here. And then, you know, I know he's got his Olympic schedule this summer. So, you know, could he be able to attend the game? You know, so like we were just kind of throwing around a bunch of different ideas. And but when Brian's name was at the top of the list, we're like, oh, we have to make this happen.
Yeah, it feels like and again, it's a little bit of a surprise, but you have to realize that he now constantly has obligations to go to Paris, France, because he's kind of the Victor Wembanyama whisperer, as well as ESPN's Olympic basketball correspondent. It's amazing. So did you have to get Brian? Did you get Brian's approval? And I mean, I don't know what the rules
rules of making a bobblehead for someone.
Yeah, you know, are there name and image bobblehead rights you have to obtain?
Believe it or not, there is. So yeah. You know, we went through the proper channels and you know, reached out to Brian, reached out to Major League Baseball for approval, you know, all that fun stuff. And when we got the green light from all the pertinent parties, We were just so excited, elated at the opportunity to bring Brian here and really do a night for him. You know, it's fun to see there's a lot of folks from the Akron area that have had a lot of success. And, you know, whether it's here in Akron, Northeast Ohio, or whether they've gone on like Brian and, you know, to the NBA and become, you know, incredible, you know, NBA writer and, you know, just kind of the guy that makes everything come to life. All things NBA. And so when that happened, we got really excited. And this is just, you know, we're able to send out the release and let people know. And, you know, the bobblehead manufacturers are hard at work putting together the bobblehead of Brian.
Well, I'll have you know, I have a friend who lives near Akron and I have already he's purchased a ticket just to get me this bobblehead and mail it to me.
Well, I have to say, we have a friend who lives near Akron who's going. We also have a friend who does not live near Akron who is also coming from North Carolina to go to Windy Bobblehead Night. So it's already making a huge impact.
So I guess now, my question is, what's going on in Akron?
What I would say back to you is, what isn't going on in Akron?
Yeah.
Right? There's so much excitement here. I mean, like, obviously, you know, having LeBron James and having his presence in our community, while he's in LA right now, but the LeBron James Family Foundation has done so much in our community. And so you think of folks like LeBron, you think of folks like Brian, who are part of this community. They've grown up here and they're always giving back, and they're always part of making sure that their hometown is in a great place to be successful. Well, so it's fun to see that.
Sean and I are actually friends with Akron native stand-up comedian River Butcher. So maybe I'm just going to throw out, maybe next year, River Butcher bobblehead night.
Let's go. Let's go. We love it. We love those ideas.
Now, was there a debate about what pose the Windy bobblehead would have?
Yes. I mean, there's always debates about, you know, is he going to be standing? You know, is he wearing a tie? Is he holding a microphone? And then, of course, you know, it seems like there have been a ton of feedback on what pose that they want to put him in.
Well, it's got to be two fingers in the air asking about Royce O'Neal, right?
I saw something on Get Up this morning with Greeny. He was talking about on ESPN about what pose they wanted to put him in. So, this thing has caught a life of its own. So we're just so excited for Brian. I mean, like, again, you know, you think about the schools that he was a part of when he was in Akron, you know, St. Vincent, St. Mary's. Of course, he was there before LeBron was there, kind of paving the way for LeBron. You know, the University of Akron and even St. Sebastian, Elementary School. These schools are so proud of him, so excited for him to be here and hopefully, and try to get one of his bobbleheads.
Yeah, that's amazing. Fantastic.
I love it, Jim.
It's one of the. Now, I'm guessing that he's not really from Akron, but Steph Curry being born in Akron, I feel like that wouldn't be quite as popular with the Akron community.
Yeah, no,
would be my guess.
I wonder why that is. Well, I'm doing the wind horse two fingers in the air pose while asking you that question.
Well, we're very proud of Steph Curry. We're proud of all the folks that are from Akron, but there's like this 3-year period, you know, where he may not have been the most popular guy in Akron because of, those epic finals with the Cavs and the Warriors. But so proud of Steph, and, you know, he's had an incredible career himself.
All right. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you for coming on to talk about this. Can you give us the details of the night?
Absolutely. So September 14th, it'll be Brian Windhorst bobblehead night. The first 1,000 fans that come through the gates receive a free Brian Windhorst bobblehead. Game starts at 6:05. Gates will open then at 4:35. And excited to honor Brian that night. And so we've made an invitation to have him throw the first pitch. We made the invitation for him to be here. You know, not sure if it'll line up with his schedule, but Akron is incredibly proud of Brian and what he's accomplished, and excited for Brian Windhorst night here at the ballpark in September.
That's fantastic. Thanks, well, we're looking forward for River Butcher night, Jim Jarmusch bobblehead night.
That's the other one I was going to pitch.
Let's go, Jim Jarmusch.
This sounds awesome.
Maynard James Keenan night. Yeah. You could have it in a perfect circle. It'd all be fantastic. All right. Well, thank you so much, Jim. And we're really excited about the game.
Sounds good. Thank you guys for having me on. Appreciate it.
And thank you so much. All right. Take it easy.
All right. Thank you, Jim. If you're in the area, go immediately to the website and buy tickets for Brian Windhorst night. We want all the round ball heads to be there because we cannot. Sean, is there anything else you want to talk about today?
I want to talk about one quick. One quick thing. Well, actually, I want to set you up real quickly.
Okay.
I just want you to
set up.
We've had about a week of people being totally dismayed by the NBA All-Star Game. Joey, I just want you to give us I want to give you a platform to tell our listeners why it is not worth your time to complain about the NBA All-Star Game.
There's no fixing the NBA All-Star Game because people have been complaining about fixing the NBA All-Star Game as long. It's the same thing as people saying MTV doesn't play music videos anymore. People have been saying that longer than they actually played music videos, and people have been saying we need to fix the All-Star Game longer than the All-Star Game was good. Part of what everyone is remembering, wow, they played so hard in the 80s and 90s, and that was because there were three true psychos in the NBA who, if you didn't play hard, would, like, literally beat the shit out of you. And then after that, the All-Star Games always sucked. If you go back to, like, 2001 and read a Bill Simmons column, he's saying we need to fix the All-Star Game. They only play hard in the last 2 minutes. It always sucks. And it's not for you. It's for 10-year-olds. Like, there's a reason it's on at, like, 3 p.m. on a Sunday.
I will say they should start it way earlier because of that reason.
Yeah.
Like, that's why it's more annoying, is that, like, I don't think it's as annoying to people on the West Coast. That's what I'm going to say, because it's annoying if you're like a writer who had to stay up to watch it. And then it starts at 8:45 because there's three videos and a dance group and every player intro is 2.5 minutes long.
But yeah,
I get that. But in California, you're like, wow, it's 5:30. I'm just, you know, making dinner. It's fine.
But
seriously. Also, here's the other thing. People only play hard in the fourth quarter. Yeah, that's true. So when the game's close, it gets competitive at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Ziller had a really good explanation of this. It's just that people take so many more three-pointers. Games are less likely to be close because when you're scoring more points, there's more variance. And so really what happened in this All-Star game was that people in the Eastern Conference were making half-court shots. Mm-hmm. And so they were up by 20 points because the Western Conference was not doing that. There were like three block shots the whole game. There were like three fouls the whole game. Mm-hmm. You don't actually want guys to be like playing no layups defense in the All-Star game. That would be insane.
Yeah.
It would be psychotic. And if it is close, so if it really bothers you that this fake game for nothing isn't competitive, I don't know. You could just the only thing I would say is guys that are like old and don't want to do it, just let them opt out.
Yeah.
Like LeBron was hurt and played the first half and then sat out. And it's like, he can just not do it, you know? Like, that's fine. It should be totally okay for him to just wave. Like, they play 82 games. No one's like, oh, why wasn't LeBron in the All-Star game jogging up and down the court? It's like, he did some dunks. He shouldn't even have to do that. It's his 21st All-Star game.
But Sean,
let him wave.
I actually think the outrage this week about people being mad, like our age being mad about the All-Star game, is inherently a problem with the society, with millennial society.
Oh yeah, who don't remember anything?
No,
yeah.
Thinking that things for children are for them and
Yes.
Like Marvel movies, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Harry Potter. These are all things, Star Wars. These are all things 40-year-olds have decided are for them and
rest of their lives.
Like, the All-Star game is inherently for a 10-year-old to be like, I wonder what it would be like if Dominique Wilkins played with Michael Jordan.
Well, I remember being worried about this. It was about 20 years ago. And a friend of a friend was showing off his Rebel Alliance tattoo. And he was like 27 years old. And I remember thinking, you know, you're going to have that the rest of your life. Like, are you going to be like, still into Star Wars 25 years later?
True. You were
and then
wrong.
He did. It the tattoo told the future.
Yeah, you were wrong, Sean.
I was wrong. He doesn't regret it at all. He's gotten more. Yeah, that is a weird, like, And also, it doesn't matter. You can just stop liking things.
But you can also like the things, but or understand just keep liking. They're for 10-year-olds. That's the answer.
Yeah, it is.
And it's you know like, what? Yeah, this, there are this... tons of things I do like that. I play Marvel Snap 3 hours a day.
but are you like getting on, you're not getting on the forums and just being like, Marvel Snap has fallen off.
Yeah, it's woke now.
it's crazy. And also, yeah, just have a normal idea of the game.
Yeah.
Like it's are gonna throw alley-oops and shoot half-court shots and be silly. And
that's
if
fun.
if they played an intense game. But also, they have tremendous financial incentives not to do that.
I also think they should just lean into it and make it more for 10-year-olds. Yeah. And it should be the NBA All-Stars versus the Harlem Globetrotters every year.
Yeah.
But
let's see Kyrie. I could see like Kyrie having like a lot of theories about the bucket of water that actually has confetti in it, and he's like, you know. I was watching some videos.
You know what?
And,
that's how you fix the All-Star game. You make it the NBA All-Stars versus the Harlem Globetrotters every year. But Sean, I want to ask you to prove my point.
Uh-huh.
You've watched every All-Star game since you were probably 10 years old, right?
Yeah, I think so.
How many memorable All-Star games do you remember? Because I think there's like 3 in my mind.
Yeah, it's like Michael Jordan's last game, which was like good and terrible. It was like, it was great for good reasons and bad reasons.
It made me love Sean Marion forever.
Yeah, for blocking Michael Jordan's final shot.
They were so trying to get Michael Jordan to hit a game winner as a 41-year-old. And Sean Marion was like, no.
Nope. Yeah. And KG. And then finally they got to double overtime and Kevin Garnett's like, I'm tired. I'm going to dunk it every time down.
So yes, that's one. There's the Magic Johnson
game. Yeah. But I remember that one also because I don't know why this happened, but my parents were going somewhere. And I think because it was a 3-day weekend, they wanted to barbecue a turkey. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I was entrusted with that job to barbecue a turkey during the NBA All-Star game. Like, I'm not even sure I had house keys at that point. And it turned out really good, mainly because I was like a child who was terrified of messing up the turkey. So I think like I was just like basting it all the time. It was on a barbecue too. Like who cooks a turkey that way? And so the whole time, and I was also just like at the time thinking like, this may be one of the last times we see Magic Johnson alive. And then it turned out he's been a wonderful part of our lives for 30 years since then.
And will continue to be.
But also part of what made that game great was people being silly. Like, it was, guys were taking turns pretending to guard Magic Johnson closely. And then he made 3-pointers over them. It was great. But it was like kayfabe.
Yeah.
Anyway, and then I kind of remember the year where Shaq and Kobe were co-MVPs and it was really awkward afterwards because I'm pretty sure Shaq was on the Suns at that point.
Yeah, I would. There's also, okay, I remember another Kobe one. There was the one where he really wanted to win it in Philadelphia and it was actually bad. I remember it because it was bad.
Yeah.
He was like, it's my hometown. It's Iverson versus Kobe and I'm going to prove that Philly's mine.
Yeah.
And then there's, of course, and I only remember this because it's funny and recent. Uh-huh. There was Kyle Lowry taking like a million charges.
Oh, yeah.
Which, again, is funny and kind of
that
bad.
Was in the Elam ending game. Well, yeah. And also people talk about that Elam ending game like it was amazing. The problem with the Elam ending is sometimes it just ends like that game did with Anthony Davis shooting a free throw.
Mm-hmm. And
like
also,
the most anticlimactic ending possible.
And also, a 10-year-old doesn't know what the Elam ending is, and this is a game yes. for 10-year-olds.
So again, like, yeah, just the best way to do it. I wrote something about fixing the All-Star game, and really my suggestions are just
fix yourself.
They should wear the jerseys of their. What's that?
My solution for fixing the All-Star game is fix yourself, not the All-Star game.
Mine was just like. Adam Silver should stop complaining about the All-Star game the time, and then the players should wear their own jerseys.
Yeah.
Good fixes. And like start it an hour earlier because it's for children, and they don't start it when it's at 8:45 on a Sunday night.
And then also dunk contest. The dunk contest has been declared. It's the Saturday Night Live of All-Star Weekend, where every year someone writes Saturday Night Dead.
Yeah. And exactly.
Then, like, it's good one time and everyone's like, the dunk contest is back.
Yeah.
Last year, people were saying the dunk contest is back.
It was back and with the same guy winning.
Yeah. And this year.
Same guy.
This year, they were like, the dunk contest has never been more dead. The inherent thing about the dunk contest is most of the time it's going to be bad, but it's hilarious when it's bad. So yeah, it's better than anything on TV.
Well, that's the other thing is, I realize that Jaylen Brown dunking over a 5'3" YouTube streamer and making him sit down for that attempt is one of the worst dunks in NBA dunk contest history. But I love watching the worst dunks in NBA history. How many times have you watched Michael Finley do a cartwheel or Daryl Armstrong shoot a layup? Or,
and also,
I mean,
the
Wright brothers dunk.
The Wright brothers dunk is one of the,
one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Go to our t-shirt store and buy the John Collins airplane dunk. Yeah. I've never laughed harder at my television watching
it's so good.
Else
it's like
than John Collins.
You want these guys. And I will suggest one change for the dunk contest. Now, you could put it second to last instead of last, but really, just get Kenny Smith off that.
Well, Kenny Smith was wasted this year.
I know, but he's like complaining. Have somebody who's can take it in a spirit of camp that the dunk contest is intended to.
Shaq
loves it.
Yeah.
You need to have someone who actually likes it. Reggie Miller talking about a dunk contest is like, can you even dunk? Like, why? Let's not have the haters there.
Here's
announcing
something
it.
I actually think they can fix that everyone claims they love, but they're wrong, is the three-point shootout. The three-point shootout is boring. It's the same thing over and over again, and they showed how to fix it this year, which is have everyone shoot once.
Oh, yeah.
There's no reason to shoot four times. I don't need to
watch
the game.
They normally only shoot twice.
They shot three times this year because of
that's an insane tiebreaker. The tiebreaker should be one, like everybody shoots a starry ball.
Yeah, it was
it doesn't need to be a full round.
To watch Steph and Sabrina shoot one time.
Yeah, that was good.
Everyone shoots once. That's
no, I like two rounds.
Yeah, I just don't think
the three rounds
like,
is
this
excessive.
This is the marquee one, and it's like, because there's famous guys doing it because it's easy. That's why you think it's better. It's not better than the dunk contest.
It's really easy to figure out what's happening, and it's a minute and 10 seconds long. Yeah. I think that part of it's great. I did kind of like when they used to just shoot at the same time on different ends of the court. I understand why they don't do that, but no, the three-point contest was great this year.
Yeah.
Anyway, just get someone who's into dunking.
Yeah.
And them giving decimal scores is very weird.
Look, there's nothing funnier. This year was funny. It's so funny. A Pacer, an old man Indiana Pacer who I've barely ever heard of, gave the best dunk of the night a 46, like the lowest score he gave. It's hilarious.
That's funny. His name's
so
Dr. Dunk.
Yeah, it's amazing. It rules. There's no need to fix anything.
To be honest, I would like to see six contestants and cut it down to two at the end. Yeah. Like, who cares? Like, but the problem is people, again, it's like Adam Silver. Make it so that the people announcing it celebrate the dunks. Mm-hmm. So Kenny Smith's just too old to do it. Get a younger man. Get Vince Carter. Get Shaq. Like, and then, because obviously you don't want to do the dunk contest because people are shitting on the dunk contest all the time. Like, just
fix yourself, not
fix
the
yourself.
Weekend.
The dunk contest is fun all the time. It's just inherently fun to watch people dunk.
Yeah.
Now, look, it is also hilarious that everybody booed Jaylen Brown all the time.
Yeah, it was great.
Also funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it. Everything's funny about the dunk contest, whether it's good or bad. And it's funny because things get colored in people's minds now, right? It's like everybody thinks that Nate Robinson was like this great dunk contest contestant. But Nate Robinson, who won it three times, love Nate. We are a pro Nate Robinson contest.
Yeah, he's cool.
He was bad in the dunk contest. He would have to try those dunks like 9 times until he did them. It's hilarious. All right. That, Sean, did you want to do a Robin Lopez thing real quick?
Real quick, real quick. Our friend of the podcast, Robin Lopez, was traded from the Bucks to the Sacramento Kings. He has not been signed by an NBA team. I just wanted to, I'm trying to get LinkedIn to sponsor us, Joey. Mm-hmm. I want to suggest some jobs for Robin Lopez, and you just let me know. I'm trying to find only jobs he's qualified for.
I mean, that's a lot of jobs.
Yeah. Okay. So Pixar only has 5 jobs available. He would have to be on site in Emeryville. I don't think he could be a senior software engineer or work on the Presto execution engine. So, Joey, do you think he would be suited more to be a safety and security officer at Pixar or a sous chef?
I don't think he can be the safety and security officer because he has bought stolen goods from a place that he loves too much before.
Well, also,
I worry that would happen again.
Also, don't you think there's a little bit of a risk with his history with mascots that he would accidentally injure a furry statue. Pixar style creature?
Sous chef, I think he'd probably be pretty good at.
Well, the other thing that's great is it's very easy to be a sous chef at Pixar because there's actually a rat that sits on your head and gives you instructions. Mm-hmm. So that's all right. So he could be sous chef or temp sous chef. So Disney, I think that he should be either a WABC entertainment reporter in New York. He's already lived in New York.
I love it. That's perfect.
And the other quest is a Disney television animation current series and development intern for summer fall of 2024. That might hurt his ability to get
overqualified for that.
Frankly. Well, I mean, he's a self-motivated candidate. I think he's passionate about animation. He embraces innovation and has a strong desire to learn and grow. He definitely has knowledge of the brands, analytical comprehension, and a great attitude and warm personality. This is pretty good.
Yeah, it's perfect for him.
Yeah, because I think he's better. That's better than the FX editorial internship. But I think also, I think he could be a Marvel creative strategy and development intern.
I was just going to say, there's a marketing strategy intern opening for summer fall 2024 at Lucasfilm. I think he'd love that job.
Okay, that's a really good job for him, too. And then, you know, this is a little bit of a different. Hold on. I got to pull it up. I think that while it kind of sucks that these are only contract jobs available, I could definitely see Robin Lopez become like a product manager in charge of monetization for Meta, because one of these roles is about monetizing the metaverse. Now, he would have to move to Menlo Park for this, but, you know, I think he can probably afford even that expensive real estate. But it's the driver for identifying significant opportunities. He incorporates data and helps to monetize the metaverse. So I think That would be a little bit of a stretch for him, maybe, but I think it would be a good chance.
He did go to Stanford, so you automatically get those jobs, right?
Yeah. And let me check one more thing. And this is just because he could live at Robin's house in Orlando, but I think that he could definitely be, first of all, a lifeguard at the job fair, which is happening on Monday, March 11th, if he hasn't signed yet. But then I think he could be a really good tree trimmer / arborist at Walt Disney World.
Well, I've got another good one for you, Sean.
Okay.
Disney Store key holder cast member part-time at the Disney Store in Tulalip, Washington. How about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he is a big Mariners fan.
Yeah.
Loves the Mariner booth. Mm-hmm. Also, I think he could be an entertainment stage technician. Obviously, part-time or full-time, and that job pays $20 an hour. Mm-hmm. But I think it would probably come with a season pass, so... He's basically making money at that point.
Great. Robin, we love you. I hope you get a job soon.
Yeah, I will recommend any of your skills on LinkedIn.
Yeah. Sean, that's our episode. I should say, Sean and I both appeared on Is This Good? With our friends Matt and JD. I think that goes up today or tomorrow or something, or Monday or something. So keep an eye out for that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to plug? Like perhaps your album, America's Uncle Dad?
Oh, thanks, Joey. That is available for pre-order. It comes out on March 15th because I am a Brutus supporter. That's right. Mm-hmm. In your face, Caesar. You can order that. You can search for America's Uncle Dad on Apple Music. You can order it on Bandcamp, and it's from Blonde Medicine Records. And I will be revealing the Too Hot for iTunes album art next week.
Great. And then as for me, I got to, hold on, type in Muniz here in the search bar. you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where on February 17th, I tweeted an Instagram reel of myself driving a Ford race car and said, "Holy cow, emoji, I'm an Xfinity driver. Super grateful for At Ford Performance for believing in me and for this insanely cool car design for my debut. Should we make a diecast of this one?" Thoughtful emoji.
The problem is that when you're sponsored by Xfinity, your start time for the race is like this 3-hour window and you have no idea when you're going to actually get to start and you just have to stay in the cockpit and wait.
Also, Frankie Muniz is selling an incredible t-shirt at MunizRacing.com right now. You might want to go check that out. Sean, have you seen the news? Frankie Muniz's new t-shirt?
I'm going to look right now.
I'm sending it to the chat right now. Okay. Hold on. Where did they put the chat in Zoom? Zoom, stop moving where the chat is. There you go. It's in the chat. So buy our John Collins airplane dunk t-shirt and then go to MunizRacing.com and buy this Frankie Muniz, racing t-shirt.
This is truly incredible.
Yeah.
He looks like he's maybe 55 years old and of a different race.
Yeah, it's great.
And he's also posing like it's a glamour shot. This is incredible. Exactly.
It's amazing.
Well, I'll be ordering that right now.
Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Shut it down. Let's all remember our Pokus. And of course, fix yourself, not the All-Star game.
It was a trade deadline. Shams in the panic room. Wendy was on the set trying to pursue some news on the deals so I can get some scoop. Never will reveal the J.R. Smith soup.
Just watch Kenny and Chuck on TNT on a mission trying to find Mr. Wendy B. About to drink one third of an MGD. Zelo's granting sources anonymity.
So I grabbed my phone while Rachel was debating. I hit the wrong button and it started updating. I look at the screen, said 4% done. I turned to Bond Temps and said, "Damn, I'm sunk."
Trying to think of 10 more things that I think I like. Wendy's phone is crashing like Jay Williams on a bike. On to bigger, better things than court design. Get my old BlackBerry and put it online.
I'm getting scooped. I'm losing to Chris Haynes. I'm disappearing. Just like David Blaine, I'll lose my job. I'll lose my shoe deal. I'll look up and Woj says they're trading Bradley Beal.
They got Wendy freezing up and Paul Pierce is around. Gonna jump in there and bust like Kwame Brown. Drop an analytic knowledge about team rebound. And I fell asleep trying to watch Blackhawk down.
They got sources with sources. The trade is going down. It don't make sense. The cap is going down. To Omaha, I'll fly. It's a panic attack. They look to the wings and I see my homie Zach.
Salaries don't match. Don't have the cap space. CBA rules are about to put egg on Woj's faith. Joe Harris texted me, he's gonna sign for 8. Z-Lo and Wendy B are gonna aggregate.
story when Jerome James hit me in the face with a basketball? Michael McDonald, help me up. I took him to the low post and let my notebook explode. Now I'm switching my mind back into beer mode. Everyone on the jump knows they got wrecked. So I grab a German beer, I say, what up, Bex? Now Zach grabbed a beer, he'll only drink half. But before my home died, I had news about Shaq. Shut up, do not blog. Don't want you to quote me. Ain't heard it from Windy. Forget what you heard, I'm still a stat nerd. But I love watching film the most. It's how I spend my time when I'm on the Croatian coast, thinking about Luke Walton All Stars. I thought, ooh, I'm changing that name because he got me dude and they don't coach good. It's just not the same. I got a belly full of hops and I'm away from my spouse. The next stop is Kevin Arnowitz's house. Zach, you know what I keep forgetting? How delicious a Sunbasket meal can be, cooked in your own home, and deliver it right to your house. I'm tweeting, but only cause they make me. Don't understand a single Drake meme. Makes me feel like I have a brain tumor.
A rumor is a fact, and a fact is a rumor.
Quotes, facts, reacts, commentary. Where truth is checked, and blue checks give truth.
If you know Lexi Lowe, you don't want to step to this. It's the Low Post Era, podcasting about Luka Doncic. And if you drink like I drink, then there's Sam Adams in the fridge. And if your wife is Croatian, then never talk about your kids.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.